Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from thedraftnetwork.com, along with Trevor Sikkema, also from thedraftnetwork.com, here on a beautiful, it's a Wednesday night, let's just be transparent with the people. We're recording live on Twitch, so we've got the stream going, people are following along, we've already got great questions rolling in. It's a good night to be alive, is it not, Trevor Sikkema?
The biggest question we have right now is, how do you fluctuate from not having a beard to having a beard so quickly, like in between shows practically?
I don't even notice it, man. When we get on here, when I have a beard, people are like, whoa, you have a beard. I'm like, do I not normally have a beard? Like, I don't even know. Like, let's just be honest.
They
I'm
never
not
know.
Shave every day. Like, that's especially in the throes of draft season. So I just like let it grow
some
for 10
gotta,
days.
Some people got to shave every day. I don't.
I mean, I could. I should say shave every day, but I just don't. Like, I just don't care that much. Like, I'll trim up, and then when it gets too long, then I just shave the whole beard. That's usually like every 10 days.
So, how long would it take you to get like a true beard?
This,
like
a, is this like a true beard to you?
Well, I mean, like, it is.
This is
but I'm talking about like a like a scruffy, like a big
like
a beard.
Like where it's lengthy. Like,
yes.
Where I could like twirl it if I wanted to.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. That would probably be like 3 weeks or a month. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. It's fast. Like, this is a week. This is a week. Not even maybe.
I'm afraid
6 days.
I don't think I've shaved my beard in, well, I mean, like, I trim it up obviously, but like, I haven't clean shaven my face in easily over 2.5 years. Cause I won't do it. I'll
look
like
too young.
I'll look like I'm 12, dude.
You'll be competing with Solak.
Yeah, 100%.
Who looks younger? Are you on that level? Like, that level of youth?
Probably not as much, but it's decently close.
Wow.
It's close. I look like a child without a beard.
Somebody said I look like Ben Affleck. I look like Ben Affleck, and apparently I sound like Seth Rogen. I keep getting that.
Both, yeah.
What?
You do.
You think I look like Ben Affleck and sound like Seth Rogen? I don't think either are true.
You don't. I mean, like, your normal speaking voice is not like you sound like Seth Rogen all the time. But sometimes when you like get excited, you can get a little Seth Rogen in there. I can see
it. I guess.
I can see it. I can see a little Seth Rogen. Hold on, I got a smash retweet on this.
Yes,
on this
smash retweet on that. Also, they want to talk about, the people want to talk about Zion Williamson. By the way, for those of you who are listening to the podcast on Thursday morning, we're taking questions, we're interacting with fans, we're talking, doing all kinds of stuff like we always do here on the Twitch stream when it's Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. Zion Williamson shoe, man, like, I mean, his foot went out of shoe, so we just, first of all, let's just talk about what kind of a human being that is. Like, literally, his own shoe can't support him because he's that much of a beast. he's literally going to have his shoes made by God or something like that for him. I mean, it's just...
The fact that they weren't already is insulting.
Right. Honestly, truly is. Also, man, he better be okay. Otherwise, I'm not going to watch the NCAA tournament this year. Just kidding. But at the same time...
Oh, yeah. You're a Duke guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But also, I just like watching good players in the tournament.
Right.
And like,
that's how I am with college basketball. Like, obviously, when Florida does well, it's cool. But
yeah.
I just enjoy watching good players. And so, like, it seems like I'm this giant Duke fan this year just because I love Zion. But... It happened in the first 30 seconds of the game too. Duke,
right.
UNC, and this stupid crap happens.
Everybody thinks I sound like Seth Rogen. Sorry, it's like 10 people saying it. I don't understand.
Y'all think he sounds like Seth?
I'm gonna
Rogen
have to listen to
time?
Seth Rogen. I'm gonna have to listen to him like closely. But no, you're right. Like, Duke, UNC, that game's hyped up. People are paying thousands of dollars for a ticket. Zion Williamson gets hurt. It just kind of, the whole vibe kind of sucks. But I know people don't probably want to hear us talk about college basketball the whole time. We also got a question about Jawan Williams, the Vanderbilt corner. Man, he is such an interesting player because he seems like he's moving up for everybody, but his tape is all over the place. Like, you saw the Florida game. Like, you
right.
remember Van Jefferson getting him for the touchdown. That was
cooking
like, that was like all over his tape, honestly. So the thing with me is, we see big corners, big long corners come and go every single year. And he's definitely better than a lot of the other big long corners in this class. I think he still has a long way to go to get to where he needs to be. I mean, people are talking about him as a late round one pick, early round two. I just think it's rich. You know, maybe in this class, but I don't know, in a vacuum, that's a lot for Juwan Williams, in my opinion, because he does get beat off the line of scrimmage at times, and he did play the game of his life against Ole Miss, but I would also argue it's easier to predict where Ole Miss's receivers are going pre-snap, which helps you when you're in press coverage. You kind of know where to open a little bit. So I guess with Juwan Williams, he also misses a lot of tackles, doesn't always play to his size. I think he does compete. I like that a lot about him.
The Mike traits Gundy, are there. One word.
Right, exactly. He'd be the guy with the mountain lion. That would be Juwan Williams. But in terms of the technique and the refinement, I don't know if they're there. And are we talking about a high-end athlete or just like a solid athlete?
You know, do you like him better than Lonnie Johnson?
Oh, my. It's not even close, yes.
Okay, good, good, yeah, good. Yeah. Well, I mean, because you and I were talking, and I can't remember if we've talked about this specifically on the podcast or not, but you know, right around the Senior Bowl time, you had started hearing some people be like, hey, Lonnie Johnson, he's got the size. He's going to test pretty well. He's going to get some end of round one, early round two hype around him. And, like, the whole time I was like, that's insane. How? What? Mm-hmm. No. And so I'm just glad that we're on the same page that that's not a thing.
I am completely not understanding of the Lonnie Johnson hype. I mean, I guess he's going to test okay. I don't even think the tape – I don't know, man. I have a round five grade on him. Like, people talking about him sneaking into round one. I can't even fathom it. But
it's smokescreen season.
It is in some ways, but also a lot of bad defensive backs, mostly to the Steelers, have gone at the end of round one before.
Yeah. So
we have been here. It would not be the craziest thing.
The thing with long corners, though, is like, we can keep saying the phrase the NFL will always give longer corners sometimes the benefit of the doubt, or they'll take them higher just because they want to prioritize them, take more of a risk because they have a higher ceiling just because they have the frame profile and sometimes the athletic profile of the match. But if your game and your tape does not match that narrative, then it just doesn't matter. So I mean, I feel like we see these tall, bigger, lengthier corners get overdrafted all the time, and it just feels like this class in particular has a ton of those guys. And I mean, like Greedy Williams at the very top. I mean, we talked about him yesterday as a guy who, yeah, he's got a high ceiling, but his floor is probably lower than people are caring to admit. And I think that's like throughout the whole class. It's like you look at the size and you'd be like, all right, cool, yeah, let's bet on it. But really, if you're not solid as a press man corner,
right?
I don't care about your size. So if you can't do that, which is the high end part of playing corner, if you can't do that, then I don't really care.
Not many places in the NFL develop corners well either. You know, we don't think about that or talk about that enough, but how many times do you see a really raw corner go into the NFL and get markedly better? There are a couple places, Minnesota, which develops everybody well. Philly's done it well. But there are very few. You know, the Patriots can get guys to fit their system. I wouldn't necessarily say they develop them super well, but they get guys to fit what they want them to do, or get guys for specific skill sets and then rotate their DBs, whatever it might be. But I would say that a lot of teams in the NFL don't develop the talent really, really well.
All right, can I start getting into some of these questions?
Yeah, somebody asked if we were going to do a TDN March Madness pick'em, which I think we will do.
Yeah,
well,
why not?
At least do a locked on one.
Yeah, why not?
Kyle and
yeah.
Joe hate college basketball. That's why. Can you imagine? Like
Joe, no, listen.
They hate the tournament. Joe's coming around.
Joe
That's right.
on it because he right. stayed at my house That's and right. I was teaching him about it. We'll be all right.
Well, Anthony was teaching him. You.
That's were, true. Yeah.
Give him credit.
When Ed Oliver moves to linebacker, will he be a better athlete than Trey Lamar?
I guarantee you Ed Oliver tests better across the board than Trey Lamar. I never seen anyone like Trey Lamar get hype. He's probably the worst player I've ever seen get hype. I've seen him get first
Ever?
Round buzz.
Get out of here.
Bro, if we're talking about first, no, Sean Oakman was the worst, but he's up there on the top five, Trey Lamar.
T's Tabor's got to be close.
Yeah. He's actually horrible now. I didn't think T's Tabor was as bad in college as he is now.
I didn't either.
But I mean, I thought he was bad, but not. I was never on a fan, but yeah, he can't fight. But yes, he's probably up there in fairness. But like in terms of guys that got first round hype, but were literally horrendous in college.
Sean Oakman
was horrible. Yeah. Okay. There's probably been quarterbacks. I don't know. Like, shout out to us, guys, if you can think of people. But Trey Lamar's up there. I mean, his tape is horrendous. Like, it's, like, funny. I feel bad for saying that. But, yeah, Ed Oliver will test better across the board.
Decon09 said, I'm envious of your beard, John. It would take me months to grow that, and I'm 27. Same. Actually,
I just turned 29. 2 days ago. So
exact same. Happy late birthday, John. Can we get some happy birthday for John in the chat, please?
No, please.
Thank you.
But maybe in 2 years, maybe in 2 years, you'll be able to grow that beard.
Happy belated birthday to John in the chat. Everybody spam the birthday emoji. Wow, most likely landing spot for Hockenson. Could he go top 10? Saw him mocked to Detroit a few times. Your thoughts?
I don't think he's going to go to Detroit. Not in this class. 12 Detroit. Is the ceiling, I want to say.
You mean ceiling is in like
12 is the highest he can go.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I don't think he's going to go to Detroit either. And I hate that people bring up the Eric Ebron narrative as like the reason why he wouldn't go to Detroit, because I think that TJ Hockenson would be great for Detroit. I just think that Detroit has needed edge rusher and they haven't needed lockdown corner. Mm-hmm. Those two are two positions that you prioritize over playing tight end. You're like, they need those positions. You can – Hawk's a great player. So it's not like even if Hawk went at 10, I'd look at it and be like, yeah – probably should have got an edge rusher, but they're going to love what they're going to get out of Hockenson. So that's kind of my thoughts around it, but I'm with you. I don't think he goes quite top 10. That'd be a little crazy.
Right. Somebody asked what conference Trevor covers. In season, you kind of did everything. We only cover him in season, for by the way, people. Like once we're out of season, we just all cover everything. But in season, we try and focus on those games, and we're probably going to rotate a little more next year during –
I picked up on weekends. Recaps mostly on the Big 12 and the Pac-12, which is hilarious, seeing as my narrative throughout the entire season was those were the fake football conferences of America. But I have since turned it around.
You've seen the light.
Because of Patrick Mahomes, I have now proclaimed that Big 12 football is the only brand of football.
And Kyler Murray. And Baker Mayfield.
To hell with running the ball forever.
To hell with the SEC.
Easy now.
Just means more.
Somebody asked, where would Bryce Hall, and then they said Sam Beal from last year. That's from the supplemental draft last year.
Third round.
Where would Bryce Hall and Sam Beal rank in this CB class?
Bryce Hall would rank high for me, probably.
I'd have now, Bryce Hall 2 or 3.
Yeah, maybe 1. I'm not convinced that I like Greedy more than Bryce Hall. But here's the thing. Bryce Hall didn't declare, so I didn't put him under the microscope. I will say I did see a lot of him, but...
That's a subtle Greedy Williams is CB1 from you?
Maybe.
All right.
He and Byron Murphy are both in the same bucket. Right,
It's cool to be wrong.
We'll see what the combine reveals, but... Two total... It's like I said yesterday on the pod, man. Like, they're just different. Depends on what I was doing. Like,
what a cop out.
I'm just saying, man. Like they are. Do you want Byron Murphy for a press man scheme?
I'll take Byron Murphy for whatever because he's a good corner.
And Greedy's not.
No, I think Greedy is good, but I would take Byron Murphy over Greedy Williams.
I don't know if I can do it. Somebody asked about Jazz Ferguson and Keyshawn Johnson. Who would you rather have?
Well, I haven't really seen Jazz, but I know that I really like Keyshawn. Yeah. So
it's funny because they're like total. And I haven't watched a ton of Jazz either, but I know Jazz's whole. And by the way, Jazz Ferguson, great name. He's Jalen Ferguson's little brother. He will be at the combine.
Is Jazz Ferguson the one who looks like he's 46?
Yes.
Okay.
If you're sitting at your computer on your phone right now, look up Jazz Ferguson. Look at his biopic at Northwestern State. Dude legitimately looks like a throwback. I don't know. He looks like a jazz. I don't know. Maybe it's his name that's drawing the parallel for me, but he looks like a jazz musician, like classy, but like older and like not like a football player at all. But apparently he's an athletic freak. He's like 6'3", 220, and he's supposed to dominate the combine. That's what everybody's saying.
All right. This person said they probably can't stay in the chat long, so I want to get to it really quick. DRoss 1507 said, I've been beating the drum for Jalen Hurd. I've seen him talked about from a first-round guy to an undrafted free agent. What are your thoughts? He'll have a bunch of questions to answer, but the talent is there. What are your thoughts on Jalen Hurd?
Yeah, I really need to like watch him closely before I give like a full opinion on him. I haven't done that yet, and I want to. But there's so many receivers in this class, too. My gut impression right now from everything I've kind of heard and talking to Brad's who's seen him is that he'll be a day 3 pick, but mm-hmm. I think testing has the opportunity to change that and slide him into round 3, sneak him into the top 100 if he tests well enough. I just think he's going to be a good, not a great tester. Like, I don't think he's going to blow the doors off the combine.
Yeah. I haven't watched a ton of him a receiver, honestly, but I remember him. I watched a lot of him when he was at Tennessee as a running back. And the thing that I loved about him is that he had, I thought, really good balance. He was obviously a much bigger running back, and he was just tough to bring down. And those are attributes that I really, really liked in his game. That'll translate to being a receiver once you get the ball, but obviously there are things playing receiver which makes it tougher to get the ball in your hands to where you can display that kinds of stuff. But I remember him having those traits in Tennessee, and I was kind of a big fan of Jalen Hurd, and I felt like not a lot of other people were. So maybe I'm going to be higher on him than other people. Perhaps that's – I got to dive into his wide receiver tape, but if you ask me right now, I'd probably say that I'd like Jalen Hurd as an early day three guy. So just from what I saw and the athlete that I saw when he was at Tennessee.
He might be a five-play prospect guy for down the road, you know?
You know what?
I think the people might enjoy that.
I think next week just opened up.
Somebody said, love me some Tristan Hill. What's his ceiling in the draft? I think he's probably going to be a day three pick unless he tests great. Could see him sneaking in the top 100, sort of similar to what Jalen Hurd stock. I really liked his tape. He's really the only UCF guy that's on the radar this year, which is kind of funny considering last year they had tons of guys, and they obviously did really well, and they did really well this year, but not nearly as many NFL guys are at least draft eligible. But man, that guy plays so hard, Trevor. Like, Tristan Hill chases everybody down. Like, plays he has no shot at making. This guy's running full speed just in case, like, the ball carrier turns around and runs toward the opposite end zone and he gets a – you know what? There's no explanation for what he does. But the guy just plays so hard, and I love that. He's super physical. He's strong. He's extremely explosive when he times it up especially. It's a little inconsistent, but – he's got that twitch. You can see it, you know, no pun intended. But I think that at the same time, he needs work with his hands. Pass rush plan isn't really there. So he's fun. I think John Owning just said to me on Twitter that he would like to see him in Dallas. And I agree. That's like, he's a Rod Marinelli type of guy, like hustle, physical, you know, balls to the wall the whole time. And then I think he's the kind of guy technique wise Rod would want to work with and kind of develop a little bit. So yeah, I'd be pretty excited about seeing Tristan Hill in Dallas.
All right, let's do a quick little this or that, and then we'll get into a longer question. Well, somebody asked, David Sills versus DeMarcus Lodge, who you taking? I'm taking DeMarcus Lodge. Like, that's pretty easy for me. Just because of just because I do think that Lodge brings more to the table than Sills does. So I think we're both on the Lodge train there. Here's a bit of a longer question. What are your personal philosophies on teams double dipping to address major needs, i.e. the 49ers and potentially the edge position?
Repeat that again. 49ers.
No, it's fine. You were paying attention.
Sorry, whatever. I
can see what kind of student you were in school. It's fine. It is fine. Some of us got to do all the work while you guys cheat and get the good grades. What are your personal philosophies on double teaming or teams doubling up in the draft to address major needs, i.e. the 49ers and edge play?
First of all, I'm mad that you looked at my transcripts. Second of all, I am fine with it if it's an important position. Like, say the 49ers have no edge rushers at all by the time the draft rolls around, which seems unlikely. Normally, I will say this, it's unlikely that a team would be in that position. The Packers did it last year with corners, and it was fine. It's an important position. They felt like they had their tackles. They obviously just paid Nick Perry. They had Matthews for another year, so it wasn't time to dip an edge rusher big time. They probably wish they'd looked at safety a little bit, but I think at that point they felt like those were players they really needed to add. And the cornerback position for Green Bay had been an issue for years. So I think I got it in that situation. You know, I think it's just all about the situation. If the 49ers need edge rushers really, really bad and they need two of them, you know, and that's how they evaluate their roster, then I think it's that important of a position that if you add two good players with those picks, then I think it helps you a ton. But you have to get good players.
I mean, I just did the 7-round team mock for the Arizona Cardinals, and like, the Cardinals need trench help on both sides of the trenches badly, like more than one pick. And as the draft was going on, I found myself having no problem taking guys on both sides of the line. I believe I took an edge player for the Cardinals at one. I took Nick Bosa, and then I double dipped. I took an interior defensive line guy. And I also took two offensive tackles, I think, for the Cardinals picks. And it makes total sense, I think, for the Cardinals, because if that's the way the draft falls, you want to get the positions that matter a lot. Now, you're probably not double dipping so much on like linebacker or maybe like safeties or wide receivers or even like running backs or something like that. But when it comes to like, hey, if you need trench help, You got to do what you got to do to get it, you know, do what you got to do to fix it. So, yeah, I don't have any problem double dipping if it makes sense.
You're right.
Did you have a question that you were looking at or no?
Schematically, which wide receiver prospects would best fit in the Steelers wide receiver room? We probably need an X, or would the hope be to groom Juju for that spot? Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know that the hope is to groom Juju for anything other than what he's doing now, which honestly does a little bit of everything. I think that there are a lot of good options that could potentially fit the Steelers in this class. It is hard because when you answer this question, the temptation is to say, who's going to replace Antonio Brown? And that is not a question that can be answered in any class, probably. The better question is probably...
Penny Hart.
No. What? Please stop. No. Please stop talking.
Gotta stand for Penny Hart at all costs.
Oh Lord,
stand for
I
Penny
like Penny
Hart,
but my man's going
Kyle,
crazy.
I hope
over
you're
here.
Watching this. Penny Hart, the next Antonio Brown. Drink up, brother.
Anyway,
make it a tall one.
But that's the thing. You have to find a player who's going to be explosive and good for the offense. Like, I don't think it's about replacing Antonio Brown per se. You could do everything with Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown wasn't an X. He was a slot. He was a Z. He did everything, man. Like, I mean, they could do it, use Antonio Brown in ways you're not going to be able to use any rookie. So I'm just looking for another good receiver, if that makes sense. You know, like somebody who isn't just a slot-only guy. Like some flexibility, preferably an outside guy, because you have Juju and Switzer that can play in the slot. So preferably an outside guy to balance out the receiving core. I'd love to see speed. I mean, it's wild because no one's talked about it, and I don't think he'll be there. But, like, the Steelers pick at 20, and if DK Metcalf were there, let's just, like, play devil's advocate for a second, because he didn't have that great of production. The injury may be a concern for someone if you're looking for reasons why he could slide to that point. You know, so – but I think he's going to kill the combine and go higher. But if he were there, I really honestly think he's – I mean, what the Steelers would look for at the position – they would love to have that size. They would love to have that speed. That kind of a vertical threat, I think, is exactly what they would. That's probably the player they would be willing to take a wide receiver in round one. I don't think they're going to go wide receiver in round one, but if they did, it would be because Metcalf was still on the board. Later in the draft, I mean, Deebo Samuel's an option for them, a guy that they would probably look at. It depends also how much they feel like James Washington is going to be that vertical threat for them. If they don't, then guys like Terry McLaurin could be an option. There could be some other options down later in the Emmanuel Hall. So it really depends a lot on what role does James Washington fill next year in the minds of the Steelers front office and coaches. That'll help determine kind of what kind of receiver they're looking for, because it may not be a vertical threat if they feel like he's going to be that guy. If they don't, then they may all look for a vertical threat somewhere on day two.
What up, JR? We are having a lovely night. Thank you, sir. We have a battle going on in the chat between the actual Michael Kist and the imposter Michael Kist.
Again?
I'm not sure which is which, but one of them fully endorsed the Aquaman movie.
I got to put my glasses on for this.
So I hope to God it's not the real Michael Kist, because I'm going to have to delete him as an Xbox friend if that was him.
Somebody asked any love for Cahal Warring. I have not seen him yet, but he is on our list to watch, the San Diego State tight end. But I've heard really good things. Jeff Allison, guys, just I love the fact that he's physical. He thumps. I just don't think he can test well enough to play in the NFL. Like, his best shot is as a special teamer, and he doesn't even tackle that well as you want for that role, and he's not athletic at all. So I think we're somewhat limited in that with that type of pick.
Somebody said, my dad says the Eagles need to draft a QB. Tell your dad to seek help.
He's trash talk this kid's dad.
Sorry. We all know it's fun and games. It's all fun and games in the chat. Press
that
for respect.
What position did he say?
Quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do.
Carson. Yeah, press that for respect. Is Chauncey Gardner-Johnson a perfect fit for the Chiefs at 29?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they need corners too. Depends who they get in free agency. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's a good pick for them. They need safeties.
I mean, they do a lot of like
that's a good pick for them.
Nickel and box safety. So this person's saying they do a lot of like nickel and box safety blitzing, which I mean, like
Right. Oh, that's
cool.
That
I'm cool with Chauncey doing that.
Sure.
Right?
I'm just thinking about. I mean, you can use situationally that, but coverage wise, they need somebody who's going to be able to take the ball away on the back.
But
end
I think
of the
I think Chauncey can do that in man too. So I mean,
he
I think
can.
He fits
he could
the
play
role.
Inside. You could put Fuller outside. That's an option for the Chiefs if they added him. He gives you flexibility and versatility. Every defense
right.
wants that.
Right.
Yeah, and he can play free safety for sure, so I think that's what you're looking for.
Brian Burns, better fit in a 4-3 or a 3-4? I would say a 4-3.
I would say a 4-3 as well. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Eagles question, trade up for Jakai Polite at 16 or trade Bike for Montez Sweat at 32? Well, depends. Do you want an impact speed rusher? Because if you do trade up, if you want just another edge guy to throw in the arsenal of the rotation – you can trade back and get Montez Sweat.
I mean, Montez Sweat's a good player. He's solid.
I think so too. But like, I think Jakai has a higher impact.
Yeah.
So like, that's basically what you're asking yourself.
Right.
How much do you want to invest in that? Like, how much do you think it's a priority? Because right. I think Jakai Polite is better than Montez Sweat. So if you do as well, jump up and go get him.
That was Kiss Kid, by the way, that asked about the Eagles needing to draft a quarterback. Wee Baby Augustus. That's his kid.
He's
trash talk Kiss Kid. Wow, unbelievable.
Wait. So we've got multiple.
Yes,
Michael
all
Kiss
kinds of Kiss
counts in the chat.
Yes, there's it's a Michael Kiss chat right
thank
now.
Thank you. Thank you for pressing F, Gnome. I
honestly
see you pressing F for respect.
Somebody said McLaurin will be a Patriot. Definite possibility.
Is Dalen Mack a fit with the Patriots? Yes. Dalen Mack's a fit with anybody, really. I mean,
sort
he's
of.
An interior nose. Like.
Yeah, he's a fit with the Patriots, though.
But, I mean, like, sure. You got to kind of realize what he is, right?
Yeah.
He's an interior nose who gives you good leverage and some pass rush ability. But
I think he does give you some pass rush ability. Yeah, he's honestly so explosive in his first step. And this was his big thing coming out, too. This is why he was a five-star recruit. It wasn't
because
of his
size. That's why his freshman year, 2 years ago, when we were talking about it in the summer, I was like, yo, this dude.
I think it was just his true freshman year. It was he didn't redshirt.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
you're
he was just a straight-up, and he was dominant in – but it was because he's so explosive. Yes, there's things about him that need to be coached up over the years, but I'm telling y'all, his best football's ahead of him. And so maybe you're right. He is a fit for everybody. But if the team see him as a traditional nose, there will be some teams that are less likely to draft him in the range that you probably go in. Somebody said Fresno State Keyshawn Johnson was overrated. Who is it?
I feel like he's not even rated.
How do you say?
Where's the overrated?
Are we
part?
Talking about the other Keyshawn Johnson? Because like maybe we could have a discussion about whether he was overrated. No offense to you, Tampa Bay
Super Bowl champion, brother.
Right,
he can kiss the ring.
But thanks. We have a couple up here.
No, but not one with Keyshawn Johnson. You don't.
Yeah, we have ones with Lynn Swan and John Stallworth and Hines Ward and.
You know boasting a worse defense than the 0-2 Bucks defense. All right, haven't heard much about Cleveland Farrell in a while. What's his ceiling? Best fits? Like ceiling to be
best
picked,
fits or like say? Carolina?
Cleveland Farrell. Cleveland Farrell's highest ceiling, I guess, in theory, would be 3 to the Jets. Right?
Oh no. He is not going to go that high.
But like I'm saying, like, in, like ceiling.
No, ceiling is like a realistic range where you could get drafted. No chance. His ceiling's like Carolina in the middle of the first. I think. I don't think he's going above that.
No
way. Who's taking him above that?
We're talking about a ceiling.
Yeah, the ceiling. That's the highest I could see him being picked. I'm not gonna say it's number one overall. Like
I
you
say it's okay. I won't say it's one. I won't even say it's three. But I'd say it's eight.
Who's eight?
The Lions.
I still think it's high.
I am thinking it's
that's,
way more.
That's
likely
more logical than what you first said. But
I said, well, yeah, because it's five spots lower. You dummy.
just saying, you were the one that said three.
I would agree with you that where you are saying is more of his like target, like him going to the Panthers or who's another team that's right there.
Washington's there. Tennessee's not there.
The Titans are 19. Yeah.
Yeah. We're draft guys. We have the order memorized. We can do this. Browns are there. They're not going to take it.
They're 17.
Yeah. Somebody's 18. Can't remember who it is. Seattle.
Nah, no, we right. just no. 18 is
Minnesota. Minnesota's 18. They might take him. Nah, they probably won't. But they need more athletic guys.
They're not.
Well, Everson Griffin might get cut, so they don't have another edge unless it's Weatherly. If Depends how much they like him. Were you tuned in for the NFC North podcast that we did?
Me?
Yeah.
Hopefully we talked not. About
Edge was a big need for the Vikings. Unbelievable.
Somebody said the Bucks getting over under 3.5 wins. If I got to cover an under 3-win Bucks team, sweet Jesus, help me. The tweets are going to fly.
Would Riley Ridley be a good fit with Baker Mayfield? I mean, can you throw the football?
Yes.
Because yes, Jake Fromm fit. Can't. So
yikes.
Immediate bro, step up.
Bro, there are stretches Ridley. Where I watch Jake Fromm and I'm like, this dude can play. And then most of his
Alabama
other tape.
First half.
And then most of his other tape, I just go, yikes. How did he beat out Justin Fields?
And Jacob Eason. You realize if Fields or Eason go on to be good and Georgia doesn't win a natty, oh, Kirby's going to have a legacy there, dude. Because I think Eason could ball Washington.
Oh, yeah, too. We get Jacob Eason next year.
Yeah. He's the low-key quarterback everyone's forgotten about.
Amazing.
Don't forget Lima Swede. Well done.
Somebody said Burns will have the biggest impact of any round one pass rusher in 2019. So their rookie season. Do we agree, John?
Burns will have the biggest impact of any edge rusher in the 2019 season.
Yeah.
We do not agree. But I like Brian Burns.
Rodney Anderson or Jalen Moore, who do you like more long term?
Rodney. Jalen Moore's going to be a fun athlete, though. Ask Joe Marino. He watched him. I've seen a little bit of Jalen Moore, and that guy just be running into everyone. Like, he's crazy.
Best fit for the Titans at pick 19, Ja'Kai Polite.
Oh, best. Are they asking if Ja'Kai's a good? Oh, they're just
no,
saying
they're
best
asking
pick.
Best fit for the Titans. I'm saying Ja'Kai Polite.
What about a corner?
God damn, dude.
Just trying to trigger up Tennessee.
Titans fans to log off.
Titans fans hate me. I love it. Ja'Kai's a good one. Tell me who's all there, but I mean.
Nick Bosa.
You know?
I mean, he'd be a good fit.
Wouldn't be a bad pick.
Be a good fit.
Wouldn't be.
Quinnen Williams.
Wouldn't be a horrible pick. I think, honestly, Simmons for Tennessee could be really impactful. I like Jarrell Casey, but I do feel like Simmons adds something to that team when he's healthy. I know, and he might be there with the injury. So,
all right, we got somebody said, kill me if the Lions take Farrell. All right, I'll vault that.
We'll do. Somebody asked what I think of Shermer. I wonder if I think they're talking about Shermer's kid, the quarterback of Vandy. Better than Stick and Trace. Fair, yeah, I would say that. Also, sure. Stick and Trace draftable.
Are.
Yeah,
most of y'all
in the chat following the stream are. I do like Shermer. I think Shermer's draftable. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. JR asks, other than Farrell, who are some other players that are in play for Carolina at 16? Depending on what offensive tackles there.
I think they'll look and think about all the safeties, but I think it would have to be a run somewhere else for them to go safety.
Do you think that Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is even in play at 16?
Yes.
Okay, I agree with you.
By the time the combine's done.
I would also say...
I don't think he's going to get picked there.
I would also say offensive tackle. Yes. Like, you know, if... I don't know. It's always weird gauging hype around this time because I can never tell if we're like catching up to what the NFL was thinking beforehand or if we're like over catching up. Like, oh, a couple people have talked about Juwan Taylor and I haven't heard a lot about him. Let's vault him into the top five or something. So like if a guy like Juwan Taylor, a realistic spot for him is like middle of the first round, like maybe early 20s, then I think Juwan Taylor gets looks as an offensive tackle.
He's top 10 lock.
You think?
I'm calling it top 10 lock. Lock. Lock him in.
Locked on. Locked on,
Juwan Taylor into the top 10.
Locked the podcast. Falcons at 15.
Wait.
What?
I got to clarify this. Panthers, two surprises. Garrett Bradbury at 16 or trade back into the 20s with somebody trying to jump up, get an extra pick. Surprise pick of the first round. They take Elton Jenkins.
Get!
Yep. I'm just saying watch for it. I'm not saying they should do it at all. I like Elton, but not that much. I'm saying watch for it.
Falcons at 15.
Falcons at 15.
Go with middle linebacker Ed Oliver.
No. When you said middle linebacker, I was like, no. Then when you said Oliver, I was like, yeah. Mike linebacker Ed Oliver. Maybe he could play a little weak side. Is he bigger than Deion Jones?
He's That's a box, the question. Box defensive tackle at Oliver.
A box D tackle. He's an off-ball D tackle.
Off-ball.
We got to stop with the Ed Oliver. An off-ball D tackle. Maybe they'll blitz him once in a while, see if he can get home. Do you drop him into coverage? That's the question. Maybe put him at corner.
Put him in the Gronk role when you go three safety deep.
Who would you rather have, Jonathan Abram or Ed Oliver?
I can't breathe. All right. Sorry. All right, Falcons at 15.
Falcons at 15. Oliver's a good choice.
Yeah, he is.
Consider offensive line. Surprise pick would be Garrett Bradbury.
I like Bradbury. You think he's pretty much in play. I love Bradbury.
This was the guy, by the way, if you saw my tweet talking about who would maybe be the best.
Nobody follows you.
If you saw my tweet saying I was going to talk about the low-key best player from this class that nobody's talking about, it's Garrett Bradbury. He's a top 10 talent in this year's class, Garrett Bradbury is.
There you go. Okay, so do you think that when you say offensive line, you think interior, if they're going to pick at 15?
Yes. Who am I going to pick, do you say, or do I think they're going to pick it interior there? I think interior. Okay. They just re-signed, wrap your mind around this, they re-signed Ty Cimbrello for 3 years, like $18 million or something. Okay, so Ty Cimbrello, let's just walk through his career so far, and hopefully there's Falcons fans in the stream right now because I'm trying to like figure this out. But Ty Cimbrello has started like 200 snaps, around 200 snaps, a little more than 200 snaps, every year. He's played about 200 snaps every year since he's been in the league. This past season was his fourth season, okay? His fourth year in the NFL. Guess how many games Ty Cimbrello started for Atlanta? Four at the end of the season. His PFF grades in those games were fine. Four games, right? Okay? Off of those four games, the Falcons decide to re-up him. Never mind that all the rest of his years in the NFL, this guy was straight up certifiable cheeks. Booty cheeks. Bad. Jeez. Not only that,
man, you're going in.
The one player who really destroyed Ty Cimbrello when he played for Denver, Vic Beasley. So the Falcons got an up close look at just how bad Ty Cimbrello was.
Yeah, but they didn't want to think about it like that. They wanted to think about it the other way.
Brought this dude onto the roster, and then they just handed him the keys at right tackle for next season.
See, now you sound like Seth Rogen.
See you, Matt Ryan. You're cooked. Let's talk about a quarterback at 14 for the Falcons because Matt Ryan's about to die this season. I've got no faith in Ty Cimbrello.
What's the read on Devin Bush? Injury scares me, but heard a lot of buzz for the Steelers. I don't know about the Steelers, but I like Devin Bush. I like Devin Bush a lot. I liked him at the beginning of the year. I think that his mentality of a linebacker.
Yeah, you were right about him. You were right. You're right. You won't hear it often on the podcast, ladies and gentlemen, because it isn't often
true. Somebody clip that. Somebody clip it. Somebody clip that.
But you were right. He's good. Yeah, he's good. It wouldn't surprise me if he ends up being the best linebacker from this class. I lean a little bit toward Devin White's upside, I think, being more significant.
I would still lean Devin White, but like...
But Bush is probably the most pro-ready. I bet he's the best rookie season out of the linebackers. He knows what he's doing in coverage. Yep. He's smart. Yep. And he may not be an elite athlete, but he's a good athlete for sure.
I was trying to tell you at the beginning of the year, he is not the reason why people, the reason why a lot of people really get down on his athleticism is because he is not, Ben and I talked about this yesterday on the Twitch stream. He's not like super quick twitch. And a lot of times when we're watching guys, I'd say kind of as a collective, we look for explosiveness because it's really easy to see. If a guy can plant his foot and get one spot to the other real quick, that's a really easy thing to see. You can point it out. You can go, okay, there's athleticism, there's burst. But with Devin Bush, it's kind of harder to see because I talk about this. He's almost got this smooth speed where he kind of reacts, not reacts a little slower, but like the first step isn't as explosive as it is in other guys. But then Devin Bush doesn't get beat to the sideline. Like he'll still beat the guy to the pursuit angle all the time.
Right.
So the speed is still there. It's just smooth. It's not sudden. And so that's why I think that it's all still there for Devin White or Devin Bush. I think he could be a really good linebacker at the next level. And I just really have not been nearly that worried about his athleticism. I think there are going to be other linebackers who are more athletic than him. I just don't think it's nearly as much of a liability. And when you take that into account with the rest of what he does really well as a linebacker, I like that a lot.
Yeah. Somebody said, who's one trash prospect and one treasure prospect at linebacker this year? There's a long list of trash prospects. We already mentioned Trey Lamar. I was so disappointed with Tavon Coney's tape. How is a dude with arms that big not physical? Backs down from everybody. Lineman pushing him around. I thought he would thump at least. He's bad. One treasure. That's hard. You know, I wasn't wowed by Okereke's tape, but he's probably got a chance to be better.
No, keep going. I'll be right back.
He's probably got a chance to be better than some of the other options in the class. Tyrell Dodson might rise. I'm not overwhelmed by his tape, but he may be a riser in this class. He was an early declaree as well. He could be an option. Honestly, I think the linebacker I'm going to come away loving is Terrell Hanks. I haven't gotten to finish his evaluation yet on his tape, but he's super athletic. And in this class, that goes a long way. Super physical, super athletic. You got to teach him how to play the position in some ways, but like, I can deal with that. I can live with that. In this class, we're not talking about a guy we're taking in the top 50, I don't think. So I'm willing to take a risk on Terrell Hanks. You know, I mean, I think he needs to finish better as a tackler for sure.
Wait, wasn't I talking about Terrell Hanks and you were pooping on?
No. What?
No.
You were a Terrell Hanks guy?
At the Senior Bowl, yes.
No, I don't think.
What? Bro,
me? I've never been a Terrell Hanks hater.
I talked about him like at the beginning of the week, and y'all were like, calm down.
Wait, no, that was somebody who'd watched him, like Joe or Cal. They watched him. I think Joe did his eval. He said he was bad. God. I think that was Joe that was hating. Joe, haters. If you're in the chat, defend yourself. Yeah, John loved him at the Senior Bowl. Somebody said that. Thanks. See? AF Pierce told you what's up. Let's go.
What did he say?
He said I loved him at the Senior Bowl, so it wasn't me. You're thinking of somebody else.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it wasn't me. So anyway, running back, somebody asked about Miles Sanders.
I like Miles Sanders a lot. He just doesn't have the elite next year.
Josh Jacobs, round one, or Miles Sanders, round three. Brother, I love Josh Jacobs, but you're not getting me to take a running back in round one.
What a question.
In this economy, so I'm going to take Miles Sanders.
Yeah,
West Virginia backer is the gem. I haven't seen that so far, but I haven't finished his eval either. Somebody asked about Miles Sanders. Can he be the best running back in this class? I'm going to say no.
I mean, I'm going to say he can't.
I'm going to say no, but I'm also going to throw my complete all around disclaimer out there that whatever running back lands in the best offensive line / opportunity situation will probably be the best in this class. There isn't like that transcendent, clear cut, this guy's going to be better than everybody else no matter what. Like, there isn't that kind of a player. So that's where I would draw the line with that. Bengals at 11, other than Devin White. Devin White's not a lock there. A quarterback is an option.
Devin White really might go higher than people think.
Yeah, like higher than 11 is what you mean.
Yes.
If everyone thinks he's going at 11, he might go.
I mean, there's real smoke around him potentially going 5 to Tampa.
So he might go 5. So somewhere between 5 and 11.
Yeah.
I think he's going to go top 10. I'm with you. I think he's going to go top 10, top 12. Upside, character, football demeanor. All that stuff the coaches love.
More buzzwords.
Yeah, exactly.
Always in his playbook.
All the buzzy coach stuff. He is not a top 12 talent in this class, in my opinion. I do like Devin White. So kind of a little bit of gray area there for me. Christian Miller would be a good day two pick for Pittsburgh. Yes, but they won't take him. Injury concern
Jeffrey,
is real there.
Somebody just said Jeffrey, and we got to wrap this up, but like somebody just said Jeffrey Simmons at 33 to Arizona. If they come away in the first round with Nick Bosa and Jeffrey Simmons.
Gosh.
Or not first round, just like first two rounds.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Seems like a no-brainer.
That would be two of your top five players, right?
Yeah. Two of my top three players. I have Simmons number 3 overall.
Who do you have at 2?
Quinnen.
Oh, right. Yeah, goat. I'm an idiot. All right, cool. Quinn and the goat. Yeah. Did you see the clip I posted today of Quinn and, like, almost picking off the screen pass with one hand?
No.
Oh, so I was watching Travion Williams tape, and
Quinn picks. Oh, I know which clip you're talking about. Yeah,
he was throwing a screen pass, and he just like lobs it to him. But Quinn saw the screen pass coming, so he was already backing up coverage, and he like reaches his arm out like Odell style, and the ball just goes past his hand. And if he would have caught that Odell style and picked it off, I said in the tweet, I would have just quit scouting. There's no other reason.
Well,
I wouldn't need to see anybody else.
Yeah, greatest player ever. Move over, Tom Brady. It's over.
Yep,
Calamari. All right, here we go. We got to wrap this up. We appreciate all you guys as always. Leave us reviews and ratings over at iTunes, if you will. We would love that. Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. Say good things about Trevor's hair and about my beard and voice, apparently. And we will be back again. We got a guest coming up on the podcast for Friday that you guys are going to be stoked about. I don't want to give it away. I want to keep it a secret.
Don't give
guest
it away.
Coming out for Friday, you guys are going to be stoked about. So that's going to be an awesome pod. And then Monday, we're coming in hot with Mock Draft. The new site's dropping. We got Build Your Own Big Board dropping. We got Mock Draft Machine dropping. We got new, brand new looking site dropping. It's unbelievable looking site. We got everything happening on Monday. We're going to drop that Mock Draft podcast. We might make it a dueling Mock Draft podcast. I think we're going to do that. Yeah.
We're going to get fancy?
We're going to take it up a notch, I think. But anyway, appreciate y'all. Until next time, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.